1027 Business.
Alrighty, time for the view from the markets. Wayne, thank you very much for your time. What an interesting day today. I think there's a couple of things I want to chat about first. Sasol, no reaction yesterday, but a monster of a day today.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Sasol results when they came out were actually fantastic. And when you think they're paying out almost 60 Rand, 70 Rand, wasn't it, 68 Rand dividend, I had a look a while back, you know, in the worst days of Sasol, the share price was 25, 28 Rand or something like that. So, I mean, it just shows you how cyclical a commodity company can be, and especially with Sasol, with the amount of money they spent in America. But, yeah, the market liked that today. And I suppose, I mean, the oil price going back to 100 certainly helped there.
Yeah.
And a little bit, well, I suppose the Rand's not really weak today, but, you know, certainly – you know, you can't believe it. In April, the Rand was 14.50 or somewhere around there. So it's had a tremendous amount of weakness in the back of a strong oil price. Even the oil has come off from the 120 back to 100. It's still, you know, compared to literally a few months ago, as we all know when you go and fill up, you know, the Rand price of oil has gone up enormously, and that's clearly benefits Sasol.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I saw there was a couple of, I think it was Standard Bank who put a 600 price target on it the other day.
I would be cautious about that because I think the next stop for oil is 70. You know, the global economy is going into a slowdown. You look at the US PMI numbers. But, I mean, the classic example is the UK with double-digit inflation and forecast of inflation going to 18. Now, I don't believe that forecast. But in that environment, interest rates are going up hugely and the economy is going down. And the characteristics are exactly the same in the U.S. So I'm not saying they're going into a massive recession, but economic growth will slow down and the demand for oil will also slow down. So I think the next stop is 70 in oil. So hopefully I'm right. And in the next year, it gets sort of somewhere around that level because then we'll all get some relief from the oil price and from inflation. But then unfortunately, the Sasol share price will go down.
Yeah, so I guess decide which side of the fence you're on. Take your dividend and run, or stick it out and hopefully, well, I guess, you know, it's best of both. If you want Sasol to go up, unfortunately, that means inflation comes with it, right?
You pay more at the pump,
All right, and then moving on to Richmont, I see there's a reclassification of their Ukes next to Porter.
Yes.
I don't know how to say it, YNAP. Can you maybe just explain, you know, what that's about?
In other words, companies nowadays are always dividing, when they go through operational restructure, they're always divided into continuing operations, discontinued, or operations for sale, and then the total company. So they obviously decided they are getting out of this particular business, Ukes. And I remember they entered Net-a-Porter, they entered into this with quite some fanfare many years ago. But clearly, it's not quite certain from, well, they say they're going to write down the carrying value to the expected fair value. So clearly, it hasn't been that successful, and they're going to sell it. So they're taking it out of their continuing operations so that when investors look at the overall picture, they say, okay, this business didn't work out so well, but here's the business that's going to be left over after the sale, and it looks better. So that's essentially why you would do it.
Sounds like a little bit of balance sheet magic.
I must say, I haven't seen an announcement before on SENS saying that they're going to reclassify it. You normally just see the announcement is we're selling it.
Yeah. But okay, I mean, that's very clearly stating their intention.
Yeah, and the market liked this in a reasonably... Well, I mean, today was reasonably soft, and there wasn't much movement on the Rand. And, you know, Richmont is one of the, I think, of the top 10 companies. It's, you know, it's the second best performer today of the top 10 companies. So the market clearly likes it. They're getting out of this Net-a-Porter and Ukes. They're up almost 3%, which is quite good in a day like today.
Yeah.
With the Rand, that's done nothing.
Yeah, and Harmony not doing so well, unfortunately, 1.6% down.
Yeah, but look, you know, when you look at the... when you look actually at the trading statement, you know, and you see words that they're restructuring this and taking tough decisions, and when you look at the actual trading statement, okay, they had a huge base effect last year of some non-recurring item, but then you got a decreased gross profit because of higher production costs and higher impairment costs against goodwill and a translation loss on their foreign debt versus a translation profit, and then you see the loss incurred in the current financial, or, you know, it doesn't make for good reading, and hence we see a bit of share price weakness.
Yeah. And but it's also been under quite a bit of pressure, I guess, since March. Yes. I mean, it peaked kind of March.
Yeah, but I think a lot of commodities companies sort of peaked in March, because that was the peak in industrial commodity prices, and that might have been the peak in oil as well. So the commodity cycle seems to have turned around in March, and you know it's been a little bit weak since then. And when you take the platinum companies, you know, their earnings have halved. I mean, they're still making very good earnings, but they halved in comparison to the previous 6 months when they reported to June. So it does clearly seem to have been some sort of downturn in the commodity cycle in March, simply because of the real surge in global inflation and the commensurate higher interest rates dampening economic prospects.
And I mean, in the face of a sort of slowing global economy, does gold still have a little bit of upside left? I mean, we know the gold companies themselves are geared very well, so that's a good play for higher gold prices. But
look, Petri, I've never known what's driven gold. You know, I mean, when I started in investments in the 80s, you just knew if inflation went up, you bought gold, and if inflation went down, you sold gold. But now we've had inflation up and down, and wars, and COVID, and
gold is not moving.
Goodness, and gold, you don't know what it's going to do. So I literally don't know if a slowing in global environment is good for gold or bad for gold.
I guess we'll see.
It really seems like a toss of a coin as to whether gold's going up or down.
All right. So I guess the message there, buy gold companies on the basis of their earnings and not on what forecast of what gold price is going to do in the near future.
Yeah. Look, I mean, and Harmony, as you said, Harmony is halved, you know, from the peak it saw in sort of mid-2020, whenever it was, you know, the price is halved. So if you look at gold on gold shares on a longer term basis, it might not be a bad trading opportunity to actually go and buy them now, because you're buying them at the same price they were 2.5 years ago. So maybe it is a bit of a trading opportunity. But I can certainly remember, you know, gold shares doing nothing for decades almost.
Yeah. So not for the faint-hearted, at least.
No, it's not. That's a pure trading share.
Yeah. All right, Wayne, thank you very much for the view from the market today. Appreciate your time. You're on Hot Business, 1027.
Hot 1027 Business.